Good. What's this week like for you coming back to the Bay Area for the last time and kind of being part of Candlestick's farewell also?
It's great. It's like a little homecoming. I got my family coming up there. I got a bunch of friends for both reasons, some 49er fans, and then obviously my family and my people that are rooting for us. But it's great to come home. Last chance that I ever get to play out the Bay Area. Candlestick's last game. I think I'm excited about it. Hopefully we can go out there and play our game and compete and hopefully come out with a win.
How many people do you have coming to support you?
Probably around 20. Around 20.
Are there some added emotions for this game then?
No, I don't know if there's anything added. For me, shoot, it's now or never. Well, I guess I've always had that attitude, but you know, I'm taking everything with urgency, you know, looking back, going, hey, this is it. I'll never have this opportunity again. So you know, the old saying, you know, you can't take it for granted because you never know when it can be over, and that's, I don't think it's any more true than it is for me. This is one of my last games. I only have two games left, so my added, you know, emotion or whatever you want to talk about is going out there knowing that I'll never do this again. This is one of my last opportunities to go out there and play, and it's a Monday night game and against one of the best teams in the NFL, a rematch of NFC the championship last year. I mean, I don't even care who's in the parking lot against the worst team in the league. I'm still going to go out there and play to the best of my abilities because it's one of my last games I'll ever be able to do this.
Okay. What have you made of Vernon Davis's year, Tony? Two 12 touchdown seasons in his career already.
I haven't really watched him that much because I'm doing my thing. But Vernon's a great player. He's been a great player for a long time. He's got a good scheme out there. He scores a lot of touchdowns. So they use him. He's always impressed me ever since he came out with his athletic ability. And I'm sure I'm not the only one who says that about him. His athletic ability is, I think it's unparalleled in the NFL. Nobody's as fast as him or you know, his explosiveness is incredible. You know, I love seeing a guy like that, you know. It took him a while to get going in the league, but once he got going, man, he's a threat. Every time he's out in that field to go over the top, he's like a receiver playing tight end, so... it's going to be fun to watch him and see what he's doing.
And I know you just said that this is one of your last games, but did the Falcons season, you know, not what you expected, does that give you second thoughts on whether this, in fact, would be your last game?
Not at all. Not at all. I knew that going into it, nothing's guaranteed. It's the NFL. And right now, I don't have any regrets either. I mean, my only regret ever was, and it wouldn't matter if we were undefeated at this point, is not retiring with my, you know, my older son, Nico. He lives out in L.A. So, but other than that, man, I don't. The record, yeah, I would have loved for it to have been better. This isn't anything close to what I thought was going to happen when I came back. But at the same time, I still got to play football. I still got to be around the guys that I love and being in that locker room and being able to play football, you know, not many guys get to walk away from this game knowing it's going to end. And I'm very fortunate.
Just looking at your stats, it doesn't seem like they've diminished over time. I mean, just physically, I know that you're going to retire, but just physically, do you feel like, you know, you did 10 years ago, you know, et cetera, et cetera? I mean, how do you feel this year, your last year?
That's so great. I could keep playing. I know I could. I could play at a good level for at least another year. I think another two years, maybe even three. But it's over as far as I'm concerned. And I gotta get home. I've been doing this a long time. It's more than just about me and how I feel. It's about I affect a lot of people. You know, just like everybody who walks the earth. I mean, especially in the NFL, with a lot of people. My family, my friends are out there in LA and in Orange County, and I'm looking forward to getting on with the next chapter of my life and being around them and being there for them. But as far as me being able to play another year, yeah, I absolutely could. But like I said, it's the end of the road for me, and I put everything I had out there, and I'm I'm completely satisfied. I don't have any regrets, like I said, and I'm looking forward to seeing what's next.
Tony, how many children do you have? And when you think about, you know, being able to spend more time with them, what are some of the things you most look forward to?
I look forward, like this year, for instance, my oldest son. Obviously, my two, I have a 12, a 5, and a 3-year-old. The two youngest ones live with me and my wife, and then my oldest one is from a previous relationship, and he lives out with his mother and his stepdad in L.A., and this was his first year playing football, and this is what I missed by coming back, you know, the first year of him playing pads. You know, he's played flag football before. And I missed his Pop Warner. They made a championship run. They won the whole thing out there in L.A., and I missed it, you know. And I'll never be able to see that again. And I'm not going to let that happen again. I love my son. He's getting to an age now. Any of you guys that have kids, you know, it's a vulnerable age. And he's going to be a teenager. And I'm going to be there for him. I mean, and maybe if there was a football team out in L.A., maybe I'd consider coming back out there. But I cannot take away any more time away from him. And then the other stuff too. All my brothers live in L.A. My mom lives out there, and it's just time for me to retire.
And what you said, Nico is an NICO, and then could you name your other children?
Yeah, it's NIKKO, and then middle one is a. That's Nico, and then the middle one is Malia, M-A-L-I-A, and she's 5, and then River is our youngest one, R, like the river.
Okay, thank you.
Tony, does it ever amaze you when you look back and the consistency of your career and what you've been able to do, or are you still so much in the middle of it that there's no reflection at this stage?
No, I mean, I reflect at the end of each year, but the biggest thing that I'm proud about, and I've been getting this question, and at first I couldn't answer it. This year, I couldn't answer it. Coach Mariucci asked it to me during the interview. He said, "What are you most proud of throughout your career?" And I really didn't have a great answer. You know, I was like, "Oh, well, you know, I've been able to do this and that," but because that's never been my focus. Numbers, milestones, records, all that stuff has never been my focus. My focus has always been on being consistent and sticking to my routine. And I figured, and the numbers and everything I've been able to accomplish over my career is just a byproduct of sticking to that routine and tweaking it and trying to be the best every time you step out in the field. And I think that's what a lot of players, they run into. You know, they're saying they want to go out there, they want to do this and that. It's like just focus on your technique, focus on catching the ball, focus on route running, focus on everything. And all the other stuff will take care of itself. And I'm really proud of being able to be as consistent as I was over these years. I mean, I don't think after my second year in the league, I didn't falter on any years. I didn't have like a down year, quote unquote, where it's like, oh, I don't, what happened to him this year? You know, it was always pretty consistent. And I think that's what great players do. That's what I look at the great ones around the league, like Peyton and Tom and Drew and other guys of that sort, where they're just consistently they come out and they ball every year because they're not worried about numbers. I don't think they do. I put all my money on it. But they're just worried about going out there being the best they can be each day they step on that field and every Sunday and Monday.
Do you see yourself doing any coaching down the line? And you know, you talk about your routine and what's worked for you. Is that in your future, perhaps?
Absolutely not. No way would I ever want to be a coach. But I do see some television doing what everybody else has done when you retire. So I'll give that a crack and see if there's a network out there that wants to hire me. And then I want to do some stuff in the health and wellness. I've been really into the physical and mental side of just being a human being. I mean, forget about sports, but just feeling good from what you eat and what you drink and what you put in your brain. That's always been a big part of me. So I'll do something along those lines. There's a company I'm maybe thinking about working with called Fusionetics, and that's, you know, the sports science, biochemistry stuff, where dealing with how your body works. And I love to spread the word because I've seen what it's done for me. I've been on that half the year now, and I felt great. That's why I feel like I could come back for another couple of years just by implementing that Fusionetics system.
Tony, where do you make your off-season home, and is that where you're going to be after you retire?
Yep, I'm out in Huntington Beach, California.
Okay, yes.
Tony, when you were at Cal, did you guys ever take in any games at Candlestick?
No, I never had time for it. I watched them on the TV. You know, I grew up watching the 49ers. Obviously, we're from California. I watched the Raiders and the 49ers were my team growing up. It's special. You know, every time I came home to play the Raiders when I was out in Kansas City, when I've come back to the 49ers, my family's always there because, you know, they could drive up or fly up. It's a quick flight. And, you know, it's special, you know, just because that's the team I watched when I was growing up.
You must have only played a handful of games at Candlestick over your career. Is that correct?
Yeah, just a handful.
I mean, any one memory jump out more than others?
Yeah, the strangest thing that ever happened to me in football happened to me at Candlestick. We're out there, and I caught the ball, and some of you guys probably know this story, but that pushed me out of bounds after the play was over. Total late hit, and I went flying, and I ran into this guy who was on the sideline. He was taking pictures, and he hits the ground. And I look down at him. His eyes are in the back of his head. He's knocked out, you know, unconscious. And I try to help him up, but then people are like, hey, get back in the huddle. So, you know, I go back to playing the game. A couple minutes later, I see the ambulance show up, and they take him away. And then I hear after the game that, you know, he's going to be okay. He's in the hospital. They're just running some tests on him, but he's going to be okay. So I was happy about that. But then a couple three, four days later, they come talk to me, and they're like, hey, you know what happened to that guy? Turns out they did a little brain scan to make sure he was okay. They found a tumor in his brain. And you know, they would have never found this tumor if you didn't hit him. And it's like a miracle that it just turned out this way, because he would have never, ever known. That thing would have kept growing, and then obviously some bad stuff would have happened down the line. And I got to meet him a couple times. His name is Mickey Flager. It's just strange how the universe works and, you know, makes things happen like that. I believe in a higher power. Some people out there don't. But I definitely think that, you know, something was at work there to make me, you know, a late hit, first of all, and then flying into this guy and being able to, you know, find that tumor in him. I thought that was something that's kind of, you know, that stands out in my brain. One of the strangest thing that ever happened to me in football. It's a great story.
How soon after the game did you actually meet the guy?
I think I talked to him on the phone, and then I've met him in person because he was a photographer, and his name is Mickey Flager. I don't know if you guys remember him or know him. He has since passed away. But I got to see him throughout games, throughout the season. You know, we always kept in touch. Every time I saw him, we, you know, give each other a hug and say what's up, you know.
Wow. Hey, how do you spell the name, Mickey Flager?
Mickey Flager, I don't know how to spell it.
You remember the guy who did the who hit you out of bounds late?
Nah, I don't know who it was. I can't remember.
You guys, we're gonna have time for one more question with Tony before we have to open up the call line for Joe. Anything else?
I think that's it.
Perfect, guys.
Tony.
Thank you, Tony.
Thank you, Tony.
Thank you, Tony. Appreciate it.
All right, guys, you can call back, hang up and call back in for Joe.